On my way here this morning, it's so cool how the Lord just puts my bread together for the day. On my way here this morning, and I don't like it. I don't like it. But when I first came back to Christ, I went through. That's funny, Lord. I went through the toddler stage. And I was going to say, I went through a critical stage. And that's, I guess, a little harsh. And the Lord considers it a toddler stage. It's when we come back to the Lord, when I came back wholehearted, serious, you know, really wanting it. I went through the toddler stage of being real critical.
Yeah.
And the Lord told me, and he reminded me of it this morning. He told me the night I had to quit being critical and criticizing other Christians' relationship and intimacy with him. And then I was like, ow, yeah, it's really none of my business, but what's my business is mine.
Mm-hmm.
My intimacy and my relationship. So if I'm going to be critical or try to critique, I need to check on myself.
Yeah.
I need to do that with myself and not tell someone else how they need to be more intimate with God and just not be that critical person.
Yeah.
That, you know, especially if they came to me and I brought, you know, I introduced them to Jesus, I have no right to criticize how God decides to build his relationship with that person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Lord. I really like my bread.
Yeah.
I really dig the bread.
Our walk is not going to look exactly like someone else's. And for us to take our shoes off and try to put them on their feet is not right. You're right. It's good to encourage your brothers and sisters because sometimes they just get discouraged and they feel like I've blown it. I don't know. It's good to encourage, but it's not good to critique. You're right.
And that's not a word that I use, so I'm going to have to do some search. I'm going to have I'll be Googling that word. Yeah.
Yep.
We got some prayer requests over there, Sister. Okay.
The Monroe family had a house fire last week, and they've all passed away, mom, dad, and
the 3-year-old.
Oh, it was a 3-year-old.
Yeah, he was 3.
So we want to pray for the family and friends. That was in Texas.
Yes, yeah. In Gun Barrel City area.
Gun Barrel City, Texas. Yeah. I wouldn't know where that was. Monica told me she lived there at one time.
Yeah, I did. It's down, I want to say Cedar Creek Lake. I believe that's where that.
In the Dallas area, though?
No, it's east of Dallas, about 2 to 3 hours.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Athens. Close to Athens.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I know, Monica, you showed me a picture of this beautiful family, young family, a little 3-year-old, and it's just devastating to us on this side of eternity to think that this family, especially at this time of the year, had a fire in their house, and the dad passed away, like, right away. The little boy passed away in the hospital shortly thereafter, and the mom was in the hospital with burns, and now she had too has passed. And you know, we can't wrap our minds around that kind of a tragedy. But here's where I go with it: the reality of heaven is not a fantasy. It is. Heaven is the reality. This is a staging area. Whether you're here for a short amount of time or a long amount of time, this is a staging area for eternity. Heaven is what we were created for. And so let's go before the Lord. Obviously, this family, we only know kind of about them. but they have to have family members that we don't know about and friends. And even people who didn't know them can be affected by the by it. So, Father, we bring this before you. And, Father, I would never thank you for this tragedy. You would never want me to, but, Lord, I can still thank you in this tragedy because I'm thanking you for the reality of a home in heaven, the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the grace that you've offered to us. And, Father, I pray for the family, and I pray for the friends of the Monroe family. And I pray, God, that you would comfort them with a peace that is so supernatural that they can't even comprehend it. And, Lord, I just hold to your word that says that we know that in all things you work together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And so, God, I am believing, Father, that those who love you and are called according to your purpose, Lord, they're going to show them your goodness in this. And I pray, God, that the reality of heaven become more and more and more real to all of us, but especially to those who are being affected by this tragedy. And, Father, I would also pray for those, Lord, I know of several people who are needing healing in their physical bodies, Lord God, for Danny, for Brooke, Lord, for my dear brother Ivan, Lord God, for Charlene, Father. You know their every need. You know every one of us for our dear friend Joe. God, you told us in your word that we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not lean on our own understanding. Father, we always seem to want to know, you know, well, hey, you got this symptom. What's the doctor's report say? What's that say? Who would they say? But Lord, nowhere in your word did you tell us to research so that we could tell you what needed to be done. But you told us simply, in childlike faith, to come to you believing that you are God, that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And Father, we believe that one of the rewards of being in covenant with you is that we have been appropriated to us physical as well as spiritual and emotional healing. And we ask you for that. We rebuke every virus, whether it's flu or COVID or this, that, or the other. We rebuke every disease, whether it's cancer or diabetes or whatever it is. I command neuropathy to stop in the name of Jesus. And Father, we release your grace and your peace to all who need it today. Someone, Lord, I don't think there's anything physically wrong with me, but I just feel like I'm about to have a breakdown. Lord, we release your peace. We release your grace. Let them be drawn to you and refreshed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Listen, if you're listening to us and that you're like, I think you said that just for me, or I've been struggling with that or this, that, or you know, why don't you let us know? It'll greatly encourage us. And we continue to stand in faith. We do this by faith. We always have, we always will. Believing that God's word will not return to him void. It will accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. We believe God is touching you. He knows you. He knows right where you're at and everything that's going on. And he is a good God. So in his name, receive it. Amen.
Amen.
The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty at 18304 East 1140 Road. In Sarah, Oklahoma, Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with Something to Think About. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
No time for lettuce. It's still meat and taters time.
Meat and taters.
Yeah.
There you go.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest for today is Pastor Dwight Shepherd. His title for this morning is Just Rest.
Just rest. If you don't do anything else today, just rest. And that don't mean stay on the couch and eat chips all day.
Aw.
Oh,
no
sorry.
Bonbons.
You get out ahead. Take your hair out of its nighttime curlers or whatever. You know, brush your teeth. Take your house coat off. But rest. If you've got a busy day, rest in the middle of it. Rest throughout all of it. See, I don't know how to do that. Well, we were just looking at a passage of scripture in the Bible where two sisters were in a house, and Mary and Martha. It's in Luke chapter 10, but Mary was so busy with all the stuff that needed to be done, she got irritated at her sister and irritated at Jesus, I believe. Because she went in, she didn't address Mary, she addressed Jesus. She said, Lord, it's not fair that I have to do all the work while she sits here at your feet. You know, tell her to come and help me. Well,
why isn't she in here helping me do all this stuff?
You know,
don't you know we got a lot of people coming, we got a lot of stuff to do.
That's right.
Why isn't Jesus telling her to get up and come
that's
in here?
It.
Don't he care about all this stuff I've got to get done?
Yeah. Lord, you need to tell her what to do. You need to tell her. Listen, when you get so stressed out, you start bossing Jesus around. You know, there were two women in that household at the moment. They're the only two people mentioned. They may have been the only ones there. I don't know. But one thing's for certain. One of them's receiving rest, and one of them's receiving stress. They both could have been receiving rest, or they both could have been receiving stress. But Mary chose to be attentive to Jesus, to focus on him, to tune everything else out, at least for a little bit. Not like somebody eats 15 minutes late, they're going to die. You know, but sometimes we just need to readjust our schedule. Somebody says, I don't have time to spend time with the Lord. When the Lord first started drawing my heart to him, I was working at a car dealership, actually. And I had a lunch break. And so what I found would help me out during the day and was to do this on my lunch break. Instead of going with the other guys and this and that and doing whatever, you know, I would pack my lunch a lot of times and I would drive to the park and sit in my car and read the Bible and just pray and eat my lunch and just enjoy the presence of the Lord. And I could go back and be the person that God wanted me to be. If I missed out on that time, it was different. It's like my spiritual battery was drained. I was working around, in anywhere you work, there's going to be situations that are going to drain you. And so you got to stay in that place where you can recharge. Maybe you don't work outside your home. Your family drains you, but you're going to recharge. And set the atmosphere. Set the atmosphere in that place when you have the ability to do it. So Jesus basically rebuked Martha and said, I'm not going to tell Mary that Mary chose what's important. Here's what he didn't say. Mary chose what you should have chose, girl. If you'd have chose what she chose, you wouldn't be feeling like you're feeling. He didn't say that. He said Mary chose what was important, the one thing that's most important, and it will not be taken from her. In other words, you're not taking it from her, and I'm not taking it from her. Period. That's the thing. If nothing else around here gets done today, if nobody eats, no food gets served, no dishes get washed, no laundry gets done, no nothing gets done, one thing that's going to happen, the most important thing, she's attentively listening to what I have to say, Jesus said. So you and I might need to consider that. We might need to ask ourselves, am I going through my life day after day after day, doing the thing, one thing that's most important before I do everything else? I hope so. It can be difficult. Going back to Matthew chapter 11, where we started at, Jesus, what brought us here in the first place, talking about Mary being distracted and overwhelmed and stressed, and Martha being overwhelmed and distressed, and Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, just finding peace and rest. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." So it is available. It's available. The passage says this way, "Are you weary and carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me and I'll refresh your life. I will refresh your life." He said, "I am your oasis." Sometimes life can feel like a desert with a hot wind blowing. And you know what you need in a desert with a hot wind blowing? It's real simple. You just need an oasis. You say, "Man, I don't want to live my life in a desert." Oasis right in the middle of the desert. You know what an oasis is? The swimming pool, palm trees. You know? What's wrong with an oasis? Nothing. It's still right in the middle of a desert. If it weren't right in the middle of a desert, it wouldn't be called an oasis. It'd be called a rainforest. Did you get that? In the middle of the desert, there is an oasis, a place of refreshing. Jesus said, "I am your oasis." That's the way they translated in a passion. And then here in the 29th verse, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle, humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." So it's obvious that if you don't take his yoke upon you and learn from him, you're not going to feel that rest. So take my yoke upon you. Well, you got to get a picture of oxen, one on the left, one on the right, and the yoke in between them. It links them together so that when they pull, neither one of them is pulling the full load. May I ask you a question? Are you pulling the full load today? Do you feel like you're pulling the full load? I think Martha felt like she was not only pulling Martha's load, I think Martha felt like she was pulling Mary's load. And Mary's in there yoked up with Jesus, and what's she doing? Jesus is pulling her load. She's kind of walking alongside Jesus, letting him supply the strength. So here's a fact. You can do it, probably. You can try, anyway, to do it on your own if you want to. Or you can become yoked up with Jesus every day. How often are we supposed to take up our cross and follow him? Help me remember. Daily. That's what he said, daily. He didn't say you go get saved once. You know, I'm not saying you got to get saved every day. But I'm saying you take up your cross every day. You surrender yourself to the Lordship of Jesus every day. Spend time with him. So he said, "Take my yoke." I like how they translated it. Jesus said it this way. He said, "Simply join your life with mine." Join whose life with whose? I'm guilty many times of asking the Lord to join my life. Lord, I got to do this. Bless my day. Bless my plans. Bless my coming. Bless my going. Jesus goes, "Go with me. I'm already blessed." Did you get that? During the Civil War, one time it wasn't going good for the Union at all. Someone came to Abraham Lincoln, president, commander-in-chief of the Union Army, and they said, "President Lincoln, it's not going very well. Do you believe that God is on our side?" I mean, they were fighting. They took up, you know, the Republicans of the North took up the issue that they were unwilling to allow slavery to continue, and it literally came to a civil war over that issue. That's what it was about. It was about slavery. Don't think it wasn't. And obviously, God was more inclined for the freedom. So, I mean, the no-brainer thing with you to think, well, God is on the side of the people who are looking to release the oppressed slaves into freedom. But it wasn't going well. And they said, do you believe God is on our side? And it is noted, people who were there said that Abraham Lincoln literally said this. He said, I am not so concerned that God is on our side. I am totally concerned that we are on his side. It was a wise answer. Wise answer. I like to think of it in this way. Don't always be asking God to bless your plans. Go spend time with him and find out what his blessed plans are and walk in them. I mean, I've seen people try to pursue relationships that weren't God, and it won't work. It will not work. You're saying, Jesus, you're Lord, Jesus, you're Lord, and Lord, I want your will to be done out of this side of your mouth. And then you're asking him to do something that he hasn't told you or he hasn't led you that is his will. And in your heart of hearts, you may know that it's not what he wants, but it's what you want him to want. I know I've been guilty of it too, not in relationships, but in other things. And that's not a good way to live. A good way to live is to go and spend time with the Lord and allow him. David knew it. David had a revelation. He said, delight yourself in the Lord. Psalm 37. And he will give you the desires of your heart. You say, well, he'll give me whatever I want. That's not what it says. It says he'll put the desires in your heart. Well, I don't want him to just put a bunch of desires in my heart. I want to receive it. Well, if he puts a desire in your heart, he wants you to have it. If you desire what he wants, when he wants you to have it, guess what? You have it. So, in the Passion Translation, are you weary and carrying heavy burden? Come to me. I'll refresh your life and I'll be your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. That's step one. Join your life with mine. There are a lot of people that really honestly haven't done that. They've asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins. They confess him as Lord and Savior. Yes, I get that. But have you joined your life with his? Have you blended it to the point where you can't tell if you're operating in your will or his because it pretty much looks the same? That's how our life needs to be. It needs to be so blended with the will of God. We're literally yoked together. I don't go do my own thing, and then I run back to Jesus and go, okay, I'm here to do your thing now. I'm with him all the time. I never unyoke from him. An oxen would be unyoked at night. They go their separate ways and roam around the pasture or be put in the barn in different stalls. But Jesus wasn't talking about some temporary joining together just to get what you want. That was strong, wasn't it? He's talking about literally joining your life with his in an unbreakable bond of unity. The Bible's clear about how he portrays the body of Christ to be the bride of Christ, joined eternally, one together. And so what Jesus is saying is become one with me. Join your life with mine. And then he says this, and learn from me. Passion, NIV, King James, all says the same thing. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. They all say it, no matter what translation you look at, they all say it. Learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble in heart. Now, let's see if this shoe fits. I'm going to take you back to Mary and Martha's house. Learn from Martha, for she's gentle and humble in heart. I'm like, no, don't learn from her. She's not gentle. She goes in there and interrupts Jesus and tells him what to do. That's not gentle. It's not humble. I know this probably surprised y'all, but sometimes I don't come across humble and gentle either. Sometimes I can be a bull in a china closet. You know, I don't mean to be. I just, you know. And so, I agree. Sometimes I do. But Jesus was able to accomplish the greatest work in human history without being a bull in a china closet. I mean, there were times where, yes, he did exert his authority. I'm thinking about the temple, driving the people out, some of the things he said to the Pharisees, the religious people. He never, ever, ever came down hard on someone who needed his mercy. He only came down hard on the people who thought they didn't need his mercy. That's the one. You know, the ones that acted like they didn't need him, that's the ones that caught his, that experienced the brunt of his frustration. So Martha's anything but gentle and humble. And the reason why is because she's trying to do her own thing in her own strength. Jesus said, come to me if you're weary. Learn from me. So you're gonna, this is something you're going to have to learn. God, I want you to help me. God, make me patient. God can't. The patience of, listen to me, brothers, sisters. The patience of the Holy Spirit already resides in you. If you have not learned how to allow that patience to work and to supersede your personality, then you need to learn. But learn. Just learn. Learn how. And listen, patience is not just, I'm patient. I can sit here all day long and wait for such and such to happen. Yeah, that's one aspect of patience, the long-suffering part of it, the willingness to endure to the very, very, very end, no matter what it takes. That's one part of patience. But another part of patience, my best illustration I ever heard, is the patience of the water creating the Grand Canyon. Water can't carve a rock. No, well, not in a minute. But in a long, long period of time, it sure can. And so the water refused to stop flowing. So the canyon continued growing. If you and I will just be persistent, even when it's not looking. So that's the patience that I need. But I have to learn that from being in the presence of Jesus. See, he's patient. I'm reminded, Peter said, you know, some people say, well, where is the Lord? He said he's coming. Everything's the same ever since the beginning. You know that scripture? He says, but with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. He said, the Lord is patient, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, he wants you saved. He wants you healed. He wants you all the blessings that he has for you. But he's willing to be patient, and he's also willing to be persistent. And we have to learn that from him. Be patient. Jesus said, learn from me. I'm gentle. I'm humble in heart. I'm gentle. First of all, gentle. You're going to get more done. You're going to get a whole lot more done by being tactful, gentle, understanding, compassionate than you ever are by being forceful. Jesus was not forceful. He never forced anyone to follow him. He was gentle. And he was also, he said, learn from me, I'm gentle. And he said, another, I'm humble in heart. To be humble in heart means to acknowledge the fact and realize the fact that you need help. Humble, humility means I can't do it all. And I number one, I need God's help more than any other thing. I need God's help. I can't do this day to day. Lord, I don't know what my day holds. I think I do. But I know this, I know you hold my day. Now, what are you doing if you talk to him like that? You're humbling yourself. You're acknowledging your need for him. That's humility. Jesus did it all the time. And then he finished up with this. He said, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The Passion Translation says, what I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. Jesus is not going to make your life hard. He's going to help you make it easy. You can walk through some stuff, man. You can handle some things that people won't even understand how you're handling it if you'll be in peace with the Lord. If you're resting in his presence while you're going through the fire. You know what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were doing in the fire? They were resting in the presence of Jesus. There were four people in that fire, not three. Sometimes I'm just crying. Oh, God, you got to get him. Shut this fire off, Jesus. You got to shut this fire off. I command this fire to be shut off now. Jesus goes, that fire is there because I want you to figure out that I'm there with you in it. He didn't make it happen. But God uses every circumstance as an opportunity to show you his presence, his love, and his help. Moses was commanded of God to lead the children of Israel right out of Egypt into the promised land. And if you've never read it, you need to go read about that adventure. Because maybe you sometimes think, well, man, what I got to do in life is difficult. Go read what Moses was asked to do. These people, man, they are so stiff-necked and rebellious. They're so stiff-necked that in Exodus chapter 32, when Moses went up to be with God and get the commandments for him, you know what they did? They started taking all their jewelry off, made a golden calf, began worshiping it, having a big hoorah, doing all kinds of erotic things. I'll leave that to your imagination. For this calf to worship this god they made, and God knows about it. Since Moses come back down, hears it. Oh, he breaks all 10 commandments at once. He throws them down. He's angry. God's angry. You know what the Lord said? Get back from these people. Moses, stand back. I'll make a mighty nation out of you, Moses. That's how God felt about it. Moses stepped in between. That's what an intercessor does. Steps in between, and he literally told the Lord, he said, forgive their sins, and if not, then blot my name out of your book. Whoa. God liked that. God loved Moses' heart to do that. So you know what God did? He said, all right, I'm going to spare him. He goes, but whoever did sin against me and their hearts are against me, it'll catch up to them later. And he said, now, Moses, go lead these people into the promised land. And Moses says to God, if you don't go with me, I ain't going. Remember that? It's in Exodus 33. He said, if your presence is not with me, then I'm not going. And what the Lord responded to him in that was this. He said, my presence shall go with you. Listen to this. He's leading 6 million people, approximately. And they're so fickle. So rebellious. I mean, they've been slaves for generations. You can take the slave out of Egypt, but it takes you a while to take the Egypt out of the slave. They're so stiff-necked. They're so rebellious. They're so, that literally God himself said to Moses, he said, I'm not going with you. You go with them. I'm not going with you. Because if I go with you, God said this. You can read it for yourself in Exodus 33. If I go up with you, I'll strike these people down. That's what God said. They're trying me too much. And Moses, in reply, said, if you don't go with us, we're not going. Sounds like he's not sassing God. He's appealing to the merciful nature of God. And he's also humbling himself, and he's saying, God, if you don't go with us, then we won't go. We'll be destroyed anyway. And you know what the Lord responded to him and said? I will go with you. And listen to this, and I will give you rest. Read it for yourself. It's in there, Exodus 33. God said to Moses, leading all these stiff-necked people were so troublesome that God himself didn't even want to go with them. And then God said to Moses, you've appealed for my presence. You've asked me to go. You've humbled yourself. I'm going to go with you. And I'm not just going to go with you, Moses. I'm going to give you rest. So I want to say to you, and get my mirror out, and I want to say to you, buddy, that if Moses can lead 6 million stiff-necked people through a desert into a place where they're going to have to face all these people, warlike people, and in the process of all that stuff, God can be presence, can be present with him and give him rest, then what in the world would I think that God, that I can't be resting in all that I'm dealing with? So my message to you today is this, God's message to you today is this, simply, just rest in his presence. Just rest in his, do what you have to do, but just rest in his presence. Amen.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And you already know I'm going to say it again. This is the most powerful hour of my day. Thank you, Lord, for my daily bread and a place to receive it. From all of us here in the studio, myself, Monica Lovell, the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and Pastor Dwight Shepherd, y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time. And as a reminder, we will not be having the Hour of Power next week. We will be out next week to spend time with our families.
Amen. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.